Have you ever felt small? Insignificant. Like maybe if I were to die, the world would keep on spinning. Like somehow all of this that's happening to me in my life maybe doesn't matter all that much in the galactic view of things. Have you ever felt like maybe you're not important? Well, the psalmist David sure did. We find here, as we're beginning our new series called Miracles, in Psalm chapter 8, we're going to be focusing on the miracles of the everyday. And the psalmist David certainly felt small. He was aware, even without all of that knowledge, in the evening sky surrounded by stars that looked like you could touch them, he knew he was not all that big of a deal. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. We're going to pause there for a little while. We're going to come back to the second half of Psalm 8. But I think it's important that we remember our place in the universe. I think it's important that we remember our place in the universe. Because much like salvation, you can never be that excited about being saved until you realize that you're a sinner. Until you've accepted the fact that you're a sinner and that hell is the natural result of sin, you can never appreciate your salvation. You can never appreciate forgiveness. It's like a man being thrown a life jacket who has no belief that he's drowning. He's just out for a swim. You're bothering him. He doesn't want to be troubled by that thing in the way. He's enjoying his swim. Now, his perspective might be off. He might be in the very middle of the Pacific Ocean, and this might be the only thing that's going to save him. But if he thinks he's just out for a swim, he cares nothing about your life jacket. Until you have accepted the fact that you have sinned and therefore hell itself is all that you deserve. That eternal torment and torture is the only thing that we deserve because of the fact that we're sinners. Then God's free gift of forgiveness and salvation and the gift of eternal life with Him in heaven seems just like something you've heard before. Don't bother me with that Jesus stuff today. I'm out for a swim. In the same way, if you want to understand the miracle of the everyday, you have to start with the miracle of the universe. The miracle of the universe. Point number one. You know, I think unfortunately as American Christians, I think to be honest with you, as global Christians, we have defined miracle incorrectly. We think of a miracle as that which we cannot otherwise understand or explain. If it confounds my thought process, it must be a miracle. Whether that be the face of Jesus on your piece of burnt toast. Or if it's the sunlight coming through a break in the clouds that looks somewhat like a cross. Or if it's the fact that you don't know how this person that you haven't seen in 17 years happened to be at the exact place you needed them to be when you needed them. If you don't understand it, or if it's something that you can't explain, humanity tends to explain, well, that must be what a miracle is. Balderdash! Absolutely not true. I could be a moron and not understand normal things, right? Can I get an amen? Amen. You're not willing to call me even a moron. Okay. Are you awake this morning? That might be a minor miracle in and of itself. A miracle is not something we don't understand. It could simply be a normal progression of reality, and we're just not aware of its normal progression. That does not in and of itself make it a miracle. The problem with that view of miracles is that as we learn more about how the universe works, our God becomes smaller. Because we've pigeonholed him into an area where only what we don't understand, God, are you allowed to be given the credit. Think about that for just a minute. If only those things which we don't understand get to be where God lives and dwells and moves and has his being, then his world is getting smaller with every discovery we make. And that's absolutely backwards. It's absolutely backwards. Because as we discover more and more about how the universe works, it should be more and more mind-numbingly amazing how God created all of this to work. I mean, we didn't even get into all the odds of human existence, about the very slim percentage chance if we were just a smidgen closer to the sun, we would be a ball of fire, or if we were just a smidgen further from the sun, we'd be a ball of ice, and human existence couldn't. I mean, all that stuff. But the reality, very simply, is this. The universe exists because God exists. Have you ever watched Men in Black? Okay, don't raise your hand. That might be embarrassing in church world for you to admit. It's a great movie. I loved it. It's hilarious. There was this kitty cat that was owned by an alien, right? And on this kitty cat, there was a what do you call it? Not really a necklace, I guess, a collar. A collar on an animal, right? You don't call it a necklace. And it had what was called a pendant that they called the galaxy, right? And it was this little itty-bitty marble-sized thing. And at the very end, I'm not going to give away the entire movie, but at the very end, this galaxy, what you see is you see all this minute little detail, and as you expand out and expand out and expand out, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and more massive, much like this perspective of the Earth and the universe as we backed out. And then it does this one more back out, and all of a sudden, it's just... it's this marble thing, the galaxy, that's on the cat that's running around. And we think how ludicrous that is. But think about this. With an electron scan microscope, you can zoom in to the atoms in a grain of sand. And I don't know if you read it or not, but it said that there are more stars in the universe than grains of sand. But in one grain of sand, there are more atoms than there are stars in the universe. It all depends on your perspective, doesn't it? What's big? What's small? Horton hears a who. And everyone matters, no matter how small. What is the size of our universe? If we were to back out, much like they did in Men in Black, and you were to go, okay, this is my life, and you were going to Google Earth, it kind of zoom out, and this is North Park Wesleyan Church, and this is Cuba, and this is Western New York, and this is the northeast part of the United States, and this is North America, and then this is the Earth, this is our solar system, this is the galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, this is the universe, and then you spread back out again, and you see a little marble that God puts in his pocket and walks away. How great is our God? Because if you think about it, ultimately, and physicists are in a quandary. We don't know if the universe is expanding or if it's contracting, or if it's expanding, contracting, like most middle-aged females on a diet plan. Oh, that was a low blow, wasn't it? Well, no, it's been proven. If you try to diet, you're just going to shrink, expand. It's about just living a life without diets. I hate mail. Well, see, okay, let's even it out. Women go small, big, small, big, small, big. Men just go big, 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 right? Anyway, whatever. We don't know whether the universe is expanding or not. We can't see that far. But imagine, if you will, the galaxy in the palm of the hand of the Almighty God. You say, that's unfathomable. Well, consider the universe from the perspective of a single cell paramecium. You can carry its world around in the palm of your hand. The universe, the fact that it exists, is a miracle. A miracle ultimately is something which requires God's existence and participation in order for it to come about. A miracle is God working in our world. And ultimately, you have to say that the world itself is God's greatest working. The universe goes beyond our capacity to understand it, and yet our understanding of what God made in a moment with a word is expanding more and more and more. And we can excuse Charles Darwin for his belief that everything evolved from simple organisms to complex organisms, because he had no idea, without the electron scan microscope, he had no idea about the complexity of the minutiae. He thought it was simple. But what he'd failed to understand is that as far as we can expand in the universe, the magnification from humanity to universe, you can go smaller by the same magnification from humanity to the universe. And we still haven't found the smallest parts of physical Earth. We split atoms, we split molecules, we get down to quarks, we get down to all these little different things. And we keep splitting things and defining them, this surely must be the smallest thing. And we still find greater complexity in the smallest of particles we've ever been able to discover. The universe is immense, and it is complex, and it is beautiful. Rebecca, could you go ahead and roll the second video for me, please?
Is made up of many atoms, around 7 octillion to be exact. These make up the 37 trillion cells in your body, which are actually much younger than you think. The cells that line your stomach regenerate every 5 days, which makes sense as stomach acid can dissolve metal. Your skin's outer layer, known as the epidermis, is shed every 2 to 4 weeks, meaning after 1 year, you'll shed roughly 0.7 kilograms of dead skin, and only some cells have been with you your entire life, those of the inner lens of the eye, and muscle cells of the heart, and the neurons of the cerebral cortex in your brain, which is largely responsible for your memory. And while the brain may seem small, all those wrinkles are for a good reason. Spread it all out, and the brain would be about the size of a pillowcase, which is great for the trillion nerves powering your memory. In fact, studies have shown that after viewing 2,500 images for only 3 seconds, participants could recall if they had seen one of the images with 92% accuracy. Don't believe your eyes? Maybe it's because you spend 10% of the day blinking, but they can actually distinguish between 2.3 to 7.5 million colors. Your nose is able to discriminate between 1 trillion different smells. Meanwhile, your fingers can feel a ridge as small as 13 nanometers in size. That's 7,500 times smaller than the diameter of a human hair. And while you may not think much of your pinky finger, without it, you'd lose 50% of your hand's strength. Sure, the index and middle finger are essential to help pinch and grab with the thumb, but it's your ring and pinky finger that give your hand power. Now clasp one hand into the other. That's roughly the size of your heart. It beats 100,000 times per day, pumping 5.5 liters with each pulse, which is close to 3 million liters of blood every year. If you live to 75, it would fill 90 Olympic-sized swimming pools. When it's all said and done, human decomposition begins around 4 minutes after death. This process is known as self-digestion, in which your enzymes and bacteria eat you away. In fact, 3 to 5 pounds of your body is made up of bacteria. In an unclean mouth alone, 100 million to 1 billion bacteria can grow in each tooth. With 32 teeth each, some of us have more bacteria in our mouth than there are people in the world. If that leaves you weak in the knees, don't worry, your bones are incredibly strong. When testing compression strength for a rate of 1 second, an 83-kilogram person with US shoe size 11 could have 16,000 people stand on their bone at once. That is, of course, if there was enough room. And from the bones of our ancestors, we can extract DNA to learn about them. But if we were to take all of your DNA from your entire body and uncoil it, it would stretch about 10 billion miles, which is from here to Pluto and back. And if you took all of your veins, capillaries, and arteries and laid them end to end, you die. So don't do that. Got a burning question you want answered? Ask it in the comments or on Facebook and Twitter.
And if you want the inside scoop on upcoming episode ideas,
you go ahead and shut that off, Beck.
Check out our personal Instagram and Twitter handles.
You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea and all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Humanity really stands in the center of the universe in many ways. Number one, in size. As I share with you, you have to go the same magnification up as you do down from humanity as you look at the specific universe. But not only that, we actually stand in a very unique role to this universe. We alone, in all of the known realms of existence, I guess in the known galaxy, the known universe, we alone stand on one side and all of nature must stand on the other side. It's completely different. In fact, we are created from the dust of the earth and the divine breath. We are built to be a bridge between that which is embodied and that which is in heaven. We are designed to be God's ambassadors in the physical realm. In fact, we are only a little lower than the angels now. Paul tells us that, do you not know that at one point in time, you yourself will co-rule with Christ over even the angels? Think of the angels as the celestial post office. Angel actually just means messenger. Humanity is created miraculously. Did you hear that? That one little thing, and this is what connected with me of all that stuff, other than the you might be going home and brushing your teeth and washing your hands like an insane person. But that 7,500 times smaller than a human hair, the human finger can detect that. This is why Ken Dykoff, my woodworker mentor, always told me, don't look at it, feel it with your hand to see if it's smooth. See if there's a bump or a ridge. It's amazing what the human body can do, what it's capable of doing, but not just the body. The body is just the luggage that carries around the soul. The human person is this wonderful, amazing miracle. In fact, that's our second point. It's already up there. Well done, Bex. The human being is the second miracle I want to talk about. That this is God working in the universe to set apart for himself an ambassador, a representative that can shepherd and steward this magnificent creation that he has made. The point of creation is that God would receive glory. The point of humanity is to make God's glory grow and expound in the universe. As we discover more and more about how he has made the world and us in it, we should be driven to our knees in awesome wonder of him. For as complex as we are, and as amazing as we have become as a culture, we have flown to the moon, we have sent rovers to Mars, we have done amazing, miraculous things. I mean, and then we watch documentaries about beavers that chew sticks and make mud and stick dams and are amazed by them, right? I have not yet seen a beaver tail on the moon. And I won't unless a human being takes one there. The great architects of the universe, the only species present on every single continent of the earth is the human being. You are more amazing than you ever thought. You are a modern miracle walking around every single day that you breathe in. There are trillions and trillions of activities going on in your body just for you to remember a thought. And all of this works amazingly well because God orchestrated it to work. The old adage of, or not adage, but the old proof of the existence of God, the watchmaker, if you will, the complexity of the universe as we learn more and more becomes more and more profound testament to the reality of a creative God. That the very bacterial colonies that live within our gut, most of which are good, by the way, are actually what digests our food. We don't. The bacteria actually digests the food, and then we're able to eat what they give off. The synthetic relationships, the symbiosis of the entire universe, how God has made everything to fit together. And then he created man as the very pinnacle of this creation. What is man that you are mindful of him? And all this huge universe, you remember the zooming out and then God picks up the entire universe and sticks it in his pocket kind of metaphor. But the reality is also equally true that in the midst of this magnificent universe, who is man that you are mindful of them? He's the pinnacle of his creation. It's the greatest thing God ever made. Humanity is brilliant. Now, we're fallen, and there's certainly sin in the world, and yes, all of that is true, but don't skip over the part that you are God's greatest creation, and that he has a purpose and a plan for you, and in the midst of this universe that you think you could get lost in, he knows every hair on your head. And for a lot of middle-aged men, that's getting to be a smaller task to learn. I have to hit them now that I've hit the women, right, I guess. The reality is that God has made a universe that depends upon him and a human being that can represent him. And those two things are everyday existences that are the results of his miraculous activity in the world. Miracles abound everywhere in our midst. The next miracle, if you will, the next miracle, the third point, very simply, is when we turn 16 years old, or maybe it's 17 here, I haven't paid much attention. Remember when you turned 16 and your daddy gave you the keys to the Thunderbird? Yeah, he didn't give me the keys to the Thunderbird either. I got the family station wagon. But he gave you the keys to the car, and then he trusted you to drive out on your own, and you got to go to the mall, or you got to go to the woods, or you got to go wherever it is that you wanted to go, and suddenly you got to experience this great freedom. And then you probably wrecked a car at some point in time in the next year and a half, and he was livid with you, and you got over it, and now you're a driver. You go all over the place. Well, most of you anyway are drivers at this point. You remember that sensation, that feeling of freedom, of trust, that you had arrived in some ways? The amazing thing is that God created this universe so complex, so majestic, so brilliant. And then this third miracle is that he gave humanity the keys to the kingdom. And so as we get into this point, I want you to be thinking about the fact that God has chosen to work his will in the world through us. God gives us the keys to the kingdom. The scripture tells us very clearly that every good thing comes down from our heavenly Father, in whom there is no shifting or changing or casting of shadow, that Father of heavenly lights. Every good thing comes from him. Sometimes we're tempted to look at things as coincidental, and maybe they are to some degree coincidental, but we know that every good thing comes from him. But don't miss the fact that God chooses to use us to be the miracle in the world. Now, I know that that's not the exceptional axe floating, Red Sea parting, all those kinds of miraculous things we love to focus on. And don't worry, we'll get there next week. We're going to look at those exceptional things next week, those miraculous things. The next week after that, we'll do a healing service right here as we talk about the miracle of God choosing to heal people. But what I want you to focus on today is that he has asked us to participate in the everyday miracles of good things being given to people in the world. That those good things that happen to you throughout the day, in big and small ways, whether it be somebody preserving the Bible that your mother had given and left to you, the one thing you desperately wanted, is that a coincidence or is it a miracle? It's a miracle because it's a good thing. And all good things come from the Father of heavenly lights. Here's the question I have for you. Are you willing to be the miracle in the world that God wants for the world to see? Are you willing to be that everyday good thing that comes into the lives of other people? Are you willing to share your time, your talent, your treasure with those in need around you? These are miracles that in the midst of a physical world where life will one day end and the human nature to grab and grasp and be greedy and take, you would choose to be a miracle, that you would choose to be godly in the midst of a fallen world. For ultimately, that is God's work in the world, is to change our hearts, and through that, to change the world. As we focus this month on miracles, I want us to start here with the everyday, with the fact that we live and exist in a universe that we have no idea how big or how small it is, but that we know that God's in control of it, that he holds us in the palm of his hand. And that he loves you and cares about you and knows every detail of your life and has a purpose and a plan for it. And that he wants to funnel through you good into the world that he has made. Be the miracle. Lord God, I pray that you would help us to intentionally focus on how we may change the world for good with the power of your Holy Spirit flowing through us. First of all, Lord, let us be willing to have you do that great and amazing work in us, that you would change the very desires of our heart, that we would be transformed by the renewing of our mind, so that instead of focusing on things the way the fallen world focuses on them, that instead we would become more like your Son, Jesus Christ, and that we would focus on giving instead of grasping. We would focus on being for others instead of taking for self. And in that miraculous moment of you changing our minds, transforming them, that you would then transform the world around us through us. Help us, Lord God, to be willing to be your everyday miracle in the world you have planted us in. May Cuba and the surrounding environs never be the same, because we have enabled you to work miraculously through us here, where you have called us to live, move, and have our being. We ask these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward at this time. We'll give to God his tithes and his offerings. Also, if you take the Fred book, pass those from the outside into the middle. When they get to the middle, please pass them back out to the outside. And if you were paying very close attention, you realize that I made a boo-boo early on, and I skipped over our greeting time, which is when I was also supposed to make you aware of a couple of changes to our bulletin. We had a couple of errors. Error number one, in this awesome April section, it's got the wrong date. It's 1 week later. It's April 22nd through the 23rd. So definitely make sure to change that in your bulletin. Also, this insert the prayer chain. We don't want your email. It's phone or text. So if in this little box it says email, if you would mark that out and put text, if you would prefer to receive prayer updates and to send on prayer updates via text messaging. So that is what those two corrections are. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you would help us to realize the purpose you have for us. Your plan is to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future, but ultimately not just us, but through us, to give a hope and a future to those around us. I pray, Lord God, that we would be willing to be the miracle you want to create. First in our own hearts and minds as you do this amazing work in us. But ultimately, also through us, as you transform the world by our activity in it. I pray, Lord God, that we would not wreck your universe, but that we would be able to pull it back into the driveway at the end of time and hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's happiness." We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you rise for the benediction? Lord God, I pray that you would bless the world through us. Make us aware of your everyday activities in and around us. Lord, I pray that you would bring to our mind's eye those good things that you would prepare in advance for us to do, and then that your Holy Spirit would convict us and challenge us and give us the courage necessary to do them. And then when we do them, to not receive thanks, but rather to point the finger to you, that you would be given the glory and the honor for the good that is done in the world. Help us, Lord God, to be the miracle this week, I pray. And I pray that you would bless the world through us and not just bless us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Now go and be the church.